This morning we're going to head the same direction that you guys were in your morning Bible study. So you were in Acts, right? And you were looking at how we are to respond to God's Word. And so you probably worked through some things like some people respond through belief, some people respond through rejection, and some people respond through, hey, I'm a little bit interested. Maybe you saw things like that and you may have dived in different directions, but that was the gist of where we were headed in our morning time. We're going to be looking at things similarly today from Luke chapter 11. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there in just a moment. But I want to talk about how we can respond to the Word. Okay, so if you have a bulletin, the text is there. If you don't have a bulletin, the text is on the wall. And if you have a Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke is the third book of the New Testament. It's the third gospel. Luke chapter 11, you can be turning there and we'll be there in just a minute. So before we get there, though, we always like to talk. So the message title today is, I know, but. So have you ever heard that phrase used, or have you ever used that phrase? I know, but. Right, for me, I think about, I guess with fathers, I was thinking about children, and maybe as adults, we can think back to when we were children. But can you remember maybe your parents asking you to clean your room or to do a chore, something around the house that you needed to take care of? And so our parents may have said something to us. Hey, I noticed that your room is not clean. What would you say? I know, but. Right? And so with that little word but in there, what we're explaining is why we didn't clean our room. And here's the reason why. So I was, whatever, doing homework. I was on the phone. I was watching TV. I was playing. Whatever. Okay? And that's at home. Sometimes it's no different in an office. You're at work and your employer says, hey, I need this by such and such time, and you don't meet the deadline. I told you, did you know about this deadline? Yes, I knew, but. Right? And so we're going to try to explain ourselves for why we didn't do what it is that we knew that we should have been doing. Well, what if knowing was enough? You think that'd be good? What if knowing was enough? So let's go back to our stay at home with our kids kind of scenario. So, hey, go clean your room, and it doesn't happen. And so I say, hey, listen, I saw your room isn't clean. And they say, I know, but, and they start to explain. I said, well, did you know? Well, yeah, I knew. Well, that's okay then. As long as you knew, that's fine. It can stay as dirty as a hog trough. It doesn't matter. As long as you knew, that's what counts. All right? If that was going on in your house, what would you think of your parents? Think they've been abducted or they've been swapped? And probably if you were living under that, we would go, this is awesome, right? Because I don't have to do anything. I just need to know that I'm supposed to do it. Did you take the trash out? No. Did you know you were supposed to? Yes. Well, all you had to do was know. Yes. All right? A lot of smiles. You're like, I'm going to try to apply this in my house today. Well, it doesn't work that way. Let's think of some other ways, though. What about if we're driving our car and we're about to run out of gas and that little voice comes on, you know, just like the GPS voice, and it says, hey, listen, did you know you're about out of gas? And we would respond and say, yes, I know. What if that voice came back and said, oh, well, they know, so we're just not going to let the car run out of gas? Wouldn't that be nice? Never have to pay for gas again. As long as we know that we're supposed to fill it up, then knowing, if knowing was enough, that'd be great. Same thing with the oil. Little voice comes on and says, hey, it's time to change your oil. And you haven't done it in 3 years, and there's none in here. Did you know you're supposed to change your oil? Yeah, I knew. Oh, okay, he knew that he was supposed to change his oil, so we're just going to keep motoring because he knew. Right? That sounds a little absurd, right? What about when we go to the doctor's office? Doctor, hey, Corey, what's your diet? Well, I'm eating a steady diet. I eat a pizza a day, a bag of Doritos, and a 2-liter Mountain Dew. I really don't, okay? But if that was my diet, my doctor might look at me and say, hey, listen, you know, that's not healthy for you. And I would say, oh, I know. What if he said, well, as long as you know, then you'll be as healthy as an ox. Just keep eating that junk, you'll be fine. As long as you know, that's what counts. Same thing with exercise. You see where this is going, right? On and on. We could talk the same thing. Maybe it would work with your employer. So how many of us have to work this week? A lot of people in the room. Let's don't show up. No, we're in. Nobody go to work this week, all right? We're going to show up next Monday, and our employer is going to say to us, hey, did you know you were supposed to work last week? And we would say, I knew. What if our employer said, well, as long as you knew, that's fine. Didn't show up. Hey, here's your paycheck for absolutely nothing. Thank you. Right? Wouldn't that be amazing? We would love that. Now, don't do that. Don't use your pastor as a reference to get fired. Right? That's not what we're attempting here this morning. All I'm trying to illustrate is that knowing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. As a little boy, I got a present for my birthday one year, and it was one of these little horns you put on your bicycle on the handlebars, and it would sound like a fire truck or a police car or an ambulance. Have you seen these little things? I don't even know if they make them anymore. And it had a little CB radio, and you could talk through it, and it would project your voice out of it. So you're riding your bike down the road, and you know, watch out, here I'm coming, and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was going to take it to show my Aunt Patty, who lived about 30 minutes away from our house. And so we're in this little S10, my mom, dad, and two brothers. It was an extended cab, which means the seats fold down out of the side. Have you ever seen these trucks? Yeah, exactly. So you're sitting on a seat about this big and this big, and then there's a seat in the middle. So me and my two brothers are in the back, mom and dad in the front. So we're heading down the road about 10 miles outside of Decatur, and I'm playing with this thing. Mom says, Corey Thomas, you need to turn that thing off. Okay, Mom. So a few more miles down the road, and it's like, Dad's like, Corey, your mom said turn that off. You put that away. Yes, sir. So sitting in that little seat, I took that thing and tucked it under my seat. Okay? And somehow that thing just, I guess with the vibrations, kept bouncing out and bouncing out. Well, I ended up stepping on it. You all look like my dad did that day. I learned a couple things about my dad that day. I learned that he's a man of his word. He really would pull the truck over and discipline me on the side of the road. And we've got a funny family memory to support that. But I also learned the difference between knowing and doing. Did I know to turn it off? Did I turn it off? No, I thought I had done the right thing by putting it under the seat. And that I know, but I'm telling you, it didn't fly on the side of that county highway, okay? I was had at that point. Knowing, desperately important, never enough. Luke chapter 11. Let's look here. We're going to find Jesus, really, he's in the midst of a conversation with some people, a crowd of people. And some of these people are going to slander him. And then there's this nameless woman who we're going to focus on today around verse 27 and 28. Don't know her name, don't know anything about her other than this one little moment right here. He's about to perform a miracle, and some people just can't stand it. Luke 11, verse 14. He was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So this guy had a demon in him that wouldn't let him speak. And so it was, when the demon had gone out, that mute spoke. The guy started talking, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, we would be at odds with one another. Verse 19. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then here's an illustration. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he had trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order, but it's still vacant, is what's implied there. Verse 26, Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so it is today. I want to look into this woman in the crowd and try to learn some things about how we can respond to God's word. Because right up front, and we'll say this at the end as well, coming before God and saying, "I knew, but," is not going to go well with us. Is knowing important? Yes, it is. And we're going to start there. So if you're following along in your bulletin, the first is this: to respond to God's word, it is essential that we hear God's word. If I'm going to respond to it, I've got to hear it. Okay? Did I hear Corey put the little toy away? Yes, I did. Okay? And so it may sound simple, but we have to start where it starts. All right? So for you and I to respond, I've got to be somebody who is listening for, hearing God's word. So back in our story here, we've got Jesus just performing a miracle, right? Changed this guy's life. And people all around were amazed for the most part. They marveled. But there was a small group of people who started to slander him, started to accuse him of being a higher powered demon. And so he's commanding these demons to come out. And because he's a higher powered demon, they're listening to him. Now, Jesus went on to explain that he was a greater power than Beelzebub, right? So you've got this guy who's strong, who's guarding the house, is what the illustration was. And then you've got somebody who comes who's stronger, who is Jesus. And so he's able to overpower any type of demon possession. And so that's what was going on there. He drove out the demon. The guy's life was changed. The woman was impressed. Some people began to slander. Jesus, though, talks about a house divided. So I want you to think about that for a moment. If a house is divided, will it stand? Jesus says no. Think of it this way. If there was a country, our country was wrapped up in civil war, how long could we go on that way? Right? We proved that there wasn't much left, what, a couple hundred years ago. So if a country continues to be at war against itself, ultimately it's going to crumble. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. If it's Satan versus Satan, then ultimately this guy's going to be defeated. He said, that's not what's going on. You fail to see the point. And so as Jesus is explaining these things, this woman is just impressed. And what does she do? She speaks. And we'll talk about what she speaks about in just a minute. But first she responds. And so what I want you to see here in the story, you've got a woman, we don't know who she is, nameless in the crowd, know nothing about her background. She's listening to Jesus. She witnesses the power of Jesus. And it prods her to respond. Verse 27. Luke 11 says, Jesus was saying these things, and a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and who nursed you." So very simply, for there to be a response, there's got to first be somebody hearing. And so Jesus is going to deal delicately, gently with this woman. But she has to hear some things initially. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. We talk through this progression often. It's talking about people believing. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:14 says, "But how can they call on the one they've not believed in?" That makes sense. "And how can they believe in the one of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them?" You see the connection? So I need to have somebody sent to preach so somebody can hear, believe, call, and be saved. No one will ever hear or respond if they're not first hearing somebody speak. So it's essential that we hear God's word if we're going to respond to God's word. So think about this woman for a minute. She was experiencing something like she had never seen before, right? So much so that it amazed her. There was something about Jesus that she knew this guy was fantastic. She knew his knowledge, his power was unlike any other. She had knowledge. But is knowing enough? Knowing's not enough, okay? Anybody remember the little superhero cartoons, Superman and Friends and all that kind of stuff? Comic books that was back around early on, then there were some cartoons made. I can remember one in particular where there's a little boy, it was a commercial, little boy stepping off a sidewalk into oncoming traffic. And Superman comes flying in, and he swoops down, and he grabs the little boy up, and he takes him home and sets him down in his yard. He says, listen, you know, you need to look both ways before you try to cross the street. Now, you could have been run over by that car. And what did the little boy say? I didn't know that. And Superman responded by saying, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. You remember that? Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. The thing is, Superman never gave us the other half. Right? Knowing is only halfway there. So there's got to be something more to it. There is an action that is required. Is knowing important? Absolutely. I have to hear to know, but knowing is not enough. And so let's progress then to our second point. To respond to His word, I've got to hear, but it also requires me to do something based on what I've heard. It requires me to live my life, to center my life around God's word. And so this is where clarity begins to come in our story here. And really, this is also how it works in our own lives. Right? Many people witness the same thing that was going on in our text today. A lot of people there, right? Some people responded by being amazed. Some people responded by talking to Him. And other people started to reject Him. And so as we talked in our morning studies, that's still how it works today. But how did the nameless woman respond? Verse 27, we're going to revisit that again here. Luke 11. Jesus was saying these things. As He was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and who nursed you. Now, who is she praising? Mary. All right, here's your word for the week. I learned it this week. Mariolatry. You ever heard Mariolatry? It is a word. You can Google it later. It's the worship of, guess who? Mary. Mariolatry is idolatry. Some people worship Mary like she's the best thing that's ever set foot on the planet. Now, can we learn from Mary? Absolutely. We don't worship Mary. You know what Mary did? Exactly what we're talking about here today. Mary, you are highly favored with God. What kind of greeting is this? She wondered. God is going to bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world, through you. He's going to birth this Son through you. And what does she say? Let it be to His servant just as He has said. She heard, she responded by centering her life around God's word. So yes, she's an example, but she's not the one that we praise. She's not the one that we worship. Now, was this woman worshiping Mary? I don't know. But she certainly thought that she was worthy of something spectacular. And really, when you read the text in context, Jesus did not rebuke her. And so, yes, Mary was blessed. I believe it's Luke 1:48 where she said, future generations will call me blessed. Sure enough, future generations called her a blessed woman. But I think about this lady, this unnamed woman. I wonder if she was a mom. I think you'd have to be a mom to kind of pick up on that. You know, I think she understood the value of having a child that you were proud of, especially in this culture. Right, back in the day, and even in some parts of this world today, there was one sex that was viewed as more blessed than the other. So if you had which one, you were more blessed. If you had a son, then you were more blessed. And so I'm sure in this lady's eyes, as a mother, she's thinking of the mother of Jesus, thinking, man, what a fantastic woman this must be. What a great privilege to be able to parent, nurture, love, be connected to, have this as your heritage, this guy as a son. And so she sees something amazing in Jesus, and she responds to Him by blessing His mother. Did she understand that she had a need at this point? No, she's like a lot of people, even people in our text, they just came for the show. Jesus, show us some other signs. Jesus wouldn't show another sign. But for this unnamed woman, she's admiring His work. She's heard from Him. She's responding. Yet she has not centered her life around what it is that He's teaching. And there are many who stop at this point today, aren't there? People in my own life who believe there's a God, who believe Jesus walked the planet, who think the Bible is a good thing to live by, they just aren't going to center their lives around it. Have they heard the truth? Have they responded to the truth? Yes, they have. Unfortunately, they've responded in error. See, sometimes we begin to think, I can write a better script for my life than the one who created me. Isn't that a crazy thought? I mean, how arrogant are we to think that we could better write a script for our life than the one who gave us life? And yet many of us and people in our own families have heard the truth. They've responded to the truth. They would say, is there a God? Yes, there's a God. I know He's there, but I'm not going to center my life on Him, at least not right now. So the times then or now are not any different than they were then. There's always a response when you come to God's Word, always. Yes, no, or let me seek this out a little bit further. So the woman responds, but her response is incomplete. And what I love here is that Jesus doesn't just get upset with her. You know, He doesn't say, I'm the one who performed the miracle. What's that got to do with Mary? And I'm the one who's saying things. You're amazed because I've confounded these people. They were slandering me, and I have essentially made their mouths be shut. And she's like, this guy is awesome. Mary must be blessed. Jesus didn't rebuke her, but He leads her. So let's go back here, verse 28. What He's saying here in essence is, He replied, blessed rather. He said, you're right. My mother's a blessed woman. But blessed rather, or more, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So what did He just say? Blessed are those who not only hear, but obey it. They live by it. They center their life around it. One of Jesus' brothers, James, had some similar thoughts on this. If you'll read James, you'll find this in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Right? So the real blessing in life is when we center our life around the Word of God. We talked here 2 or 3 weeks ago about our IQ. Remember we talked about our spiritual IQ? I told you a gentleman by the name of Greg Carlson had a quote that said, for many of us as Christians, we have this great spiritual IQ, but we lag way behind in our spiritual I do. I know it because I've heard it, and I've chosen to respond to it by not obeying it. Maybe that's you, maybe not. To respond correctly, though, Jesus makes it clear. I need to hear so I can know. And then I center my life around what it is that I'm hearing. I obey it. He's the final authority. In my house, I know, but doesn't fly. Does it in yours? When I say go clean your room, I know, but what do we say? There's no buts about it. You better get in that room and clean it up. That's the same way it works with God. Yes, God loves us, and yes, He is a Savior to admire, but He's also a master to be obeyed. And His Word demands obedience. And sometimes I just want to write my own script. So if I'm going to respond to it, I have to hear it so I can know it, and then I need to center my life around it. And here last, what I want to look at is what Jesus says of those who will do these things. For you and I to respond to God's Word, number 3, He says it's of greater value than any earthly blessing. So Jesus is making something clear, very clear right here. What is it? It's that He's not working from the same stat sheet that we're working off of. when it comes to blessings. And so help me out here. I tell people there's no one on the planet more blessed than I am. And I mean that. Anybody here say you're blessed? What's your blessing? What's a blessing? So we may even start with God. What else is a blessing? Our church. Salvation. We're going to include Jesus. What else? Family. Friends. We've got a job. What else? Health. Anything else? We've got His Word. We've got it pretty good, right? I mean, we understand this thing of being a blessed people. But what does Jesus say right here that defines us as being blessed or not? He's including salvation, but He's not stopping there. He's including God, but He's not stopping there. He's including the importance of hearing truth, but He's not stopping there. He's talking about obedience to it. That's the chart topper. Man, when I read that, that was pretty convicting on me. Because I start where we started. I'm thankful for God and for His Son, Jesus Christ, and for my family and church family and friends and my health and all these things. And Jesus here one-ups me. And how many of us would say, I'm blessed because I can hear God's Word and I have the ability to surrender my life to it? There's no greater blessing on the planet than for me to live in obedience to my Lord. See, we can talk about that here in this context, but when we walk out of here and go home, you may say, well, my husband's more important to me than being obedient to God, or my children are more important to me, or my job's more important. I have deeper feelings for them. And I'm not chastising our feelings. I'm saying there's one that should be superior. And so that's what Jesus is going to deal here with this nameless woman. Verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So, is my mother blessed, is what Jesus was saying? Yes, she's blessed. But there's something more than that, okay? So, you said that Mary is blessed and you spoke correctly. You've heard my words, you've seen my power, and you've responded to me, but are you going to stop short by admiring my mom? Or are we going to take the next step here and understand that I'm not a savior just to be admired? I'm one to receive. And when I receive you, the scripture says, I am bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to Him. Servant, master. There's no room for ifs, ands, or buts. There's a quote that says, man's greatest dignity is not in being a husband or a father. Man's greatest dignity lies in keeping the commandments of God. So maybe you're sitting here like I was this week. Is your chart topper, is my greatest value, blessing, that I'm someone who not only can hear and know God's Word, but who lives in obedience to God's Word? Where does that fall on the list? See, this woman was talking about the blessing of family. How great it must be to be a part of the Jesus family. And Jesus says, no, how great it is to be someone who hears and knows and responds with obedience. And so what I want to ask you today is this. Let's deal with the question. As I look at my life, as you begin to look at your life, as it relates to responding to Jesus, have we responded as he taught this woman to respond? That's past tense. We may want to make that current. Are we responding the way Jesus instructed this woman to respond? Have you heard the truth about Jesus? If you've heard the truth about Jesus, friend, you've heard the truth about yourself. And that's that you're a sinner. And if you haven't heard that, you haven't heard the truth about Jesus. What makes Jesus a great Savior is that there are people like you and I who are great sinners in desperate need of what it is that he's done for us. So when I look at the gospel, it's not just good news that he saves. He deals with the bad news that my life is a wreck, all because of me. I've sinned against him. I've broken his commands. I have heard and I haven't obeyed, and that's called sin. Maybe you sit here today and you say, yeah, I know that I'm a sinner. What I want to ask you is, have you ever responded to Jesus' call to save you? Who's he calling? Everyone. It's his desire that everyone repents, that none perish. Have you heard the truth of his word? Have you heard that he's a Savior and that you desperately need him? Maybe you have. What I want to ask you then is, are we following? How do I follow? Well, I've got to hear. And that goes back to where we started. Am I putting myself consistently in positions where I can hear God's word? Am I taking time to connect? All right, throughout my week. Am I faithful to this position here where we can interact over truth in this setting and in smaller group settings? Those types of things help us understand whether or not we're responding with obedience. And then the last question then would be, am I centering my life around what I've heard? Am I really obeying what God has said?